Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Hold Fast Podcast. Up until this point, it has mainly been sermons or the letter that Danielle wrote to Northwest Coast Presbytery that has been the main focus of what we are doing with Hold Fast. But now we're kind of going to branch out a little bit. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my friend Trevor. Trevor is currently an inmate at the Skagit County Community Justice Center. And I met Trevor by going inside and doing Bible studies. I'm in there about twice a month. And I had already developed a relationship with his brother who is in there, who you will hear about in another one of these segments and here pretty soon. But Trevor and I kind of hit it off. And we kind of get each other. We both come from the same context. And in one of his letters that he had written me, he said, "Kevin, it's like we've known each other forever and I'm totally comfortable with you," which was pretty amazing thing to hear. And in this relationship with Trevor, not only seeing him in Bible studies, but going and visiting him in one-on-one visits, he's got this unique perspective on Jesus, on the scripture, and the way that it unfolds. And as I'm visiting with him in a one-on-one, I had this idea. I was working in the book of James for the stuff that I was doing. I said, "Hey, Trevor, why don't you, in your spare time, while you're in there, why don't you go through and read through James chapter 1, and then I want you to write me a letter on everything that stand out to you. Basically, just give me a breakdown from your eyes on what it is." And he did that. And it's truly beautiful. So just for context, I'm going to read for you now chapter 1 of James. And then I'm going to go through and read Trevor's letter. James chapter 1. James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks in wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. But the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, and its flowers falls, and its beauty perishes, so also with the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuit. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For everyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseverance, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets about a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So there's a lot to unpack there, and I have this letter from Trevor, and it's kind of a two-part letter. It's something that he wrote to me directly, and then what he wrote about this passage. So in his letter, he says, "Kevin, it's mind-blowing what you can learn in one chapter. I love how even today, James' words still scream as loud as ever. If people would really just live as he writes us to do so, I can only imagine. Thank you for having me do this. I went through and read the book, and then I went through and read the chapter a couple of times. Then I prayed and asked for insight and for God to give me the words to explain what it is I see James trying to teach me. And then I broke the chapter down into sections, not intentional sections, but once I felt compelled to write, I did so. I really believe I was able to see how he came to the conclusions he did, how he formulated his knowledge through his life in with Christ. I know I made some clear assumptions, but I believe that they were safe to make. I will write about chapter 2 once you have made it known you received this one, and I would also like to ask you and all the staff if they would be willing to pray for this group of people, that they will all be reunited again very soon, and that the prosecution will throw out Joel's case. Well, my friend, until next time." So we have expanded, in case you're wondering, with what he said, we have expanded into chapter 2, and we're working on chapter 3. But right now I'm just bringing you James chapter 1. And this is what Trevor wrote. And I like how James uses the term a slave to God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does the show his sense of humility, but it practically screams about service. Not only is a slave meant to represent the household he or she serves, but also to do so loyally, without hesitation or question. This shows me James had no doubt where his position in the body of Christ resided: service. At the least, it shows its level of importance and how he believed Christ felt about it. We know what the people of his time went through to preach the gospel. We can only imagine the hardships James faced to speak openly about Jesus. Through all of his trials, Jesus never left his side. He remained faithful and was shown how enduring allows you to grow in Christ. We can assume James faced many moments of doubt, feeling he could go no further, only to hear Jesus whispering in his ear, "Just one more day." This, I believe, is how he achieved the knowledge of a mature in faith, finding a sense of being complete in one belief. I assume this is how he obtained his wisdom of wholeheartedly praying with complete faith, by not believing. He did this. The response was life-changing, which is why he was writing about it. He wants his people to share in his experience as well, because God has given him wisdom through his unwavering prayers. He goes on to speak on the spiritual differences between the poor and the rich. We know the poor are truly blessed. They find reasons for joy in almost every instance. Having to scrape up every morsel they obtain, they can actually see the blessing in life, in turn allows them to be abundantly faithful and thankful to God, for they can really see that they are blessed. As for the rich, they easily become inflated. They take for granted God's blessing in their lives, that have a serious need to become humble. They tend to stray from the faithfulness to God, they get struck focusing on their position in life rather than their life's position, in correlation with God's commandments. Therefore, riches turn into idols, so they fall away from God's grace. Now, James goes forward and starts to teach once again on an enduring, this time on the temptation. He lets us know to rely on God's strength by telling us God does not tempt you to do wrong, and saying this he has opened the door to show you that you can indeed rely on God in moments of temptation. He goes even further by saying temptation is brought forth by our own devices, that is our sinful nature. And if we can concede to these temptations, we will indeed experience spiritual death. This is also correlates with Romans chapter 7. By allowing our sinful nature to take hold, we lose faith in our faith. So James let us know all good things come from God. He never changes. He is not shifty like a shadow, yet the opposite. He is like a bright light to guide us in goodness, to steer us in the right direction, always, as long as we rely on him. Created in God's image, and that we are indeed his prized possessions. He so loves us that he has left his words so that we would have no doubt about his truth. I think that James is referring to our conscience when he says, listen and be slow to speak and slow to get angry. When we're angry, it becomes extremely hard to listen to that quiet voice inside you that's constantly pulling at you to do good. When angry desires take control, in anger, sin is easily manifested. I love how he spreads about, don't just listen to God's word, but do it. If you don't, what's the point? I could be the best artist in all the world, but if I never paint, then how would anyone ever know? This beauty that I hold within me. Plus, you must keep painting in order to discover new insight. So if you can add to your talent, as in doing what the world tells us, why would you not want to please your God? For if you do what is pleasing in his eyes, you will find pleasure yourself. I, for one, don't want to just listen to Christ. I want to live him. If we don't, then how do we expect to ever feel as he did in his faith? And in turn, when we live his words, will we never forget his words? That is also, the word still becomes flesh in our day and age. And in the ending chapter 1, James tells us the best way to start living the world by holding our tongues, and more importantly, by caring for orphans and widows, sheltering them from the corruption of this world. Ultimately, by loving those in need, we live the legacy of Christ. I was just blown away by this letter and by the insight that Trevor had in it. Particularly when he addressed the fact of the joy for the broken, and how the broken can seemingly find joy in every instance because that's how they survive. That's how they stay happy. It just blew my mind. I hope you guys enjoyed Trevor's letter. I do have what he wrote about chapter 2. I will put that out in a couple of weeks. So again, thanks for listening to Hold Fast Podcast. Thank you for your enduring faith in Jesus Christ. Blessings to you all.